This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Friday in Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and it's going to be a great day, and I don't want to hear any more crap about me being gone yesterday, okay? There's a lot of stuff going on right now, and some of it I will explain to you a little later on. Here's what we have on tap for tonight. Well, as you know, it's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, so there are questions all over the place from, is Trump going to run again in 2028 if he loses? Who's my favorite general in Trump versus DeSantis? Who's more electable? What do I prescribe for people who are trying to wake up normie norm? Also, PTSD, if you're struggling with it, we'll discuss that a little bit tonight. That and so much more, as you can imagine. There's food talk, history talk. There's a ton to get to tonight, and we're going to have fun. But I want to begin here. I want to talk about my book. What, Chris? No, just give me a second. I do have to field a question I've had posed to me by so many of you, and I have not had an answer for it yet. Now I have a solid answer. Okay, are you ready? Jesse, how do I get a signed book? There are two ways you can get your hands on a signed book, and now they're both solid, set in stone. Here we go. The Anti-Communist Manifesto. If you want a signed book, you can buy one and bring it to one of the book tour stops. Remember, book tour is Houston. What is that date? Hold on. Let me pull it up on my phone while I'm on the air. Very professional. Houston on the 10th, right, Chris? Houston on the 10th. Yeah, I think it's Houston on the 10th. And then Salt Lake City on the 12th. Harrisburg, Pennsylvania on the 14th, or Tampa on the 15th, Tampa, Florida. Come to one of those things, bring your book, I'll sign it and stamp it with the My Face stamp that says, you're welcome. The other way you can get it is this. There is now a link at jessekellybook.com. If you go there, there has not been this link before there. Now there's a link where you can click on it, and that gets you a signed copy. You have to click on it. I haven't even looked. I'm assuming it costs more. I don't know. I don't know. Either way, it's 35. Okay. So, sorry. Now you know how involved I am in all this. Yes, apparently it costs a little bit more, but there's a link at jessekellybook.com where you can order your signed copy there. I think, and I might have this wrong, I think you can ask me a question for the live book signing there too when you order that, but don't quote me on that. Anyway, there you go. That's where you get your signed book. Let's move on. We're done with that for now. Let's have some fun. And one last reminder. Sorry, I don't mean to do a bunch of reminders at the beginning of the show. Memorial Day is a sacred day in this nation. A sacred day. Yes, I'm fine with taking holidays off like everybody else. We do not take Memorial Day off. We never have. Lord willing, I shouldn't say we never will, but Lord willing, we never will. We do a three-hour show that's totally different that day. No fart sounds, no nothing. We talk about the history around certain battles and events, and we honor the fallen. And that is what we will be doing on Monday. And a reminder, if you have a friend or a relative or certainly a comrade in arms, a military member who died serving this country while as a member of the military, whether that be in training or in war, I don't care, and you want their name read, I will try to read everyone you email in to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I am sorry if I missed some this year. We just get a lot of emails now, and it'll be hard to get a show done without just me reading names for the whole 3 hours, and no one wants to hear that. But we will be in here live on Monday, Memorial Day. No ads except for the regular commercial breaks or whatever. But that is what we're doing. Now let us move on, because I want to discuss something else that hits me hard from time to time. Every now and then I'll get an email, I'll get a story, and it hits me for various reasons. This one is, well, here it is. Dear Crayon Eater, I'm a New York City police officer and have been for 10 years now, except for the 2 years I went on deployment in the Navy to Africa. In my 10 years, the city has fallen to its lowest level I have ever seen in my life. It's all because of the decisions of our leaders and has put us on a path to hell. I am happy I live out on Long Island and somewhat away from this mess. I would love to leave, but my wife has about 10 years left before she can get her teacher's pension, and the same with me with the police department. I wanted to write you to let you know we've hit another low. The mayor is trying to place about 50 to 100 migrants in our gym at our active base. To do this, we basically have to shut down patrol operations to secure the facility. How could they be so dumb? Please don't say my name, and thanks for teaching my son to always finger the buns when shopping. Makes me laugh every time, to the horror of my wife and other customers. I brought that up because I wanted to say this. It's not just for people stuck in New York City and can't get out. For people stuck in bad situations right now, I just wanted to make sure everybody knows that everyone goes through crappy situations you're stuck in at some point in their life, and that it will end. And if you're stuck, you're stuck. Jesse, I want out of this blue hellhole. Jesse, it sucks here. Jesse, I can't leave because I'm taking care of my father. Jesse, I can't leave because my wife has a pension. Jesse, I can't leave because my kid is in a sports league. You can't leave, or whatever the case may be. You know I encourage everyone to move all the time, but I am perfectly aware that's not possible for everybody. I just thought maybe it would be appropriate to open up the show tonight. Let's maybe say a prayer for the people who are stuck. Because maybe the reason I care is I've been stuck. Remember when I lost my two congressional races, I took a job back in Washington, D.C. because I wanted to stay in the fight. I wanted to stay in politics, and I got a job back there in politics and fighting for it. And I just got to experience all of the misery that can be living in a blue area. And it just, I wanted out. I wanted out and couldn't get out and didn't have options. I was so desperate. At one point in time, I left without a job. Not that I'm recommending you do that. And it sucks, and it's a horrible feeling, and I wouldn't recommend it for everybody. Now, let us move on, and let's begin with the show. Jesse, regarding the 2024 POTUS race, what's more important, picking the candidate that will be the best or the candidate that can win? Because Trump might be the toughest and most firm, but I think DeSantis is way more electable. Here's what I will tell you on that. If that was my thinking, if I thought like that, if I thought Trump would be better and he'd be tougher on these people and he'd be tougher on the deep state, but DeSantis is more electable, I would still vote for Donald Trump. I do not vote on this, quote, electability thing. I do not vote based on that. I do not believe in voting based on that. And you may disagree with me, but just hear me out on this. Every single time the, quote, conservative, the person who's far to the right, every single time they've lost a race in this country, whether it be Congress, Senate, presidency, every single time, the weenie, low-T, establishment GOP comes out screaming that they weren't electable. And remember when we didn't get the sweep we wanted in the midterms for a variety of reasons? Remember what Mitch McConnell came out and said? Remember what he said right away? Well, the candidate quality matters. Meanwhile, this guy's a United States senator. They say it every single time. The reason I don't vote based on that is because, one, the people who say that generally don't know what electability is. They don't know. They're guessing. You guess. I guess. Nobody knows. No one can actually predict the future. That's one. And two, that's been the excuse to crowd out the candidate who will actually make a difference every time. Now, I don't necessarily agree with what you just said, but I don't necessarily disagree with it. But if I thought in that way, I would vote for Trump. Let me tell you something. If you think Donald Trump is the one best suited to save this country, then you go vote for Donald Trump. And it doesn't matter what anyone tells you is electable or this or that. And if you think Ron DeSantis is the best candidate to save the country, then you go vote for Ron DeSantis. and ignore every pundit, every politician, every single person who tells you don't vote for this guy you believe in because he's not electable. Don't vote for that guy because he's not electable. That's stupid, crazy talk. I'm tired of hearing that. I'm going to go vote for the candidate that I believe will most change this country or has a chance at starting to save the country. Because do remember this, neither of those guys are going to save the country. We'll be much better off with them there, but the problems of this nation are too vast and too deep-seated for any president, whether it be 4 years or 8 years, to step in and right all the wrongs. Now, we want that more than we want Gavin Newsom, of course, but neither Trump or DeSantis are your savior. We got to drop the savior complex. You vote on the candidate you want the most. And rest easy in this. If you're stressing out, what if Heavy D wins? What if Trump wins? If you're stressing out, maybe this makes you feel better. Maybe it makes you feel worse. But remember, we will get the candidate. We will get the nominee we deserve. You voted for this. We will get the nominee we deserve. Now, let us move on to other things. How do we wake up Normie Norm? Who's my favorite general? PTSD questions and more still to come. But first, let's start with your cell phone. Because TikTok, TikTok, June is almost here. Next Thursday, June 1st, it begins. What begins? Pride Month, baby. And I'm going to be merciless with AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile. I may play their ads. I think I'm going to play their Pride Month ads on the radio just so you can remember what you're funding. Or you could just switch to Pure Talk. Takes 10 minutes on the phone. Keep your phone number. Your bill gets cut in half, basically. Mine did. Same great 5G network as one of the big guys, and you're funding a company that loves this country and loves you. Pick up your phone and dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. 10 minutes on the phone. Do it during the break. #250, say Jesse Kelly. Don't get caught funding the filth you're going to see next month. #250, say Jesse Kelly.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse USA! Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, reminding you, you can email the show during the show. We're live, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Jesse, what do you do? What do you prescribe for those who are still blind to what is actually happening in this country? The essence of the question is, how do we wake up Normie Norm? I will be honest with you, and we've talked about this before, you and me. That's the most frustrating thing for me. I actually don't get that frustrated with the communists. I know who they are. I know what they are. I know they're my enemy. I know they will work to destroy everything I care about. And to be fair, I will work to destroy everything they care about. Only one of us will win. And I don't have, don't get me wrong, I hate the communists, but I don't have this bitterness towards the communists. I get it. But we talked about it earlier this week, where that group that the LA Dodgers invited, the Sisters of something, I don't know, the drag group, how they were doing this big show out in the open in LA, where these two drag guys were dressed up like drag Jesus and twerking on the cross. It was just the most despicable thing ever. Just a complete double middle finger to every Christian Catholic in the country. And people look at that and they get really offended. That doesn't move me at all. That doesn't offend me at all. I already knew I was dealing with demonic forces who hate me and everything I care about. So that doesn't frustrate me. What frustrates me is my neighbor across the street, actually. I actually have three different neighbors across the street. So if the wife is listening, don't yell at me when I get home. They don't know which one I'm talking about, but my neighbor across the street is perfect for this. We will get together, I would say every 2 or 3 weeks. It's not often, but every 2 or 3 weeks, Friday or Saturday night. Hey, man, you want to come have a beer? Yeah, sure. And we'll go over there. And it's not really political, but on occasion, something political will come up, or we will talk. He and I will talk about an issue about something because it comes up. Hey, did you hear about crime? Did you, man, these gas prices? Did you hear about these things like that? And whenever I try, either in a very forceful way or even kind of trying to play it as subtle as I can, whenever I try to tell him, so who are you voting for? Did you vote? Are you going to get involved? I don't vote, man. Politics sucks. Honestly, I shouldn't say this because I like him. I genuinely do. That creates as much or more bitterness in me than any communist ever could. Because you should care. That's the guy, and wonderful wife, wonderful kids, wonderful home run, wonderful life, wonderful career. And it's all under assault. And it's being assaulted by people in politics. But he just, for whatever reason, parents were that way. Maybe he just grew disenfranchised, which I guess you could understand. Doesn't have any desire to get involved in the political process in even the tiniest way. That drives me crazy. So how do we wake up Normie Norm? Couple things. One, the you voted for this campaign is real, and it applies to Normie Norm as well. It very much applies to him. It applies to him if he doesn't vote. Hey, Uncle Bill, man, I saw you were ranting and raving about all the illegals. Can't stand it. Filling up every nick and cranny. Who'd you vote for, Uncle Bill? Oh, I didn't vote. All those politicians are crooked. Well, you voted for it then. You voted for this. You chose to sit out. You voted for it. So that's part of it. The second part is this, and I know this is a really crappy answer. The second part is maybe help's not coming. Maybe it's up to you. It's up to me, or it's not going to happen. Remember, always remember this amazing statistic, and it is an amazing statistic. During the Revolutionary War, one third of this nation sat it out. One third of this nation fought with the British. They were called loyalists. They had a name. It wasn't a tiny amount. It was one third of it. One third of this country fought the revolution, while the other two thirds either actively worked against them or just kind of sat it out. Well, not my problem. I don't really care either way. For someone like you who cares, that's hard to understand. And it's very, very hard to accept. And I don't know that I have a good answer for you because I struggle with this all the time. I have people in my life who I care about who should be right there beside you and right there beside me. And they're just totally agnostic when it comes to the whole thing. Well, whatever matters. And it makes me want to freaking strangle somebody. That's a good call, Chris. Remember, you want to get involved? The Early Vote Action Pack. It's Scott Pressler's pack. It's how you get involved on the ground in your area. It's how you get involved on the ground. If they have something for everybody there, Early Vote Action Pack. But Jesse, I'm not in Texas. It's not about that. Believe me, Early Vote Action Pack, go. Now let's talk about something else before we get to PTSD. We have some the greatest breakfast fast food. This is going to start a war on the show. Would I move my family if America collapses? How many Red Lobster biscuits have I consumed? All that and more is still to come on the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Before we get to that, let's get to this. Let's get to 14 years old. The average age of a trafficked child in America is 14 years old. Now, we talked earlier about that NYPD cop who was stuck and how we have to have a heart for the people who are stuck in horrible situations. Man, as we speak, how many 14-year-olds, maybe right next to you, maybe right next to me, how many 14-year-olds are living in hell right now? The Acervo Project, what they do, they go and they track down the traffickers themselves, and they put together all the information that is needed, hand it over to law enforcement, work with law enforcement, and they round these pieces of trash up and throw them away, and rescuing kids along the way. If you're being trafficked, please hear me. Go to theacervoproject.com, A-S-S-E-R-V-O, theacervoproject.org, I'm sorry, theacervoproject.org. Go and reach out. They will get back to you. If you want to help the Acervo Project save these children, $14 a month is what they ask for. TheAcervoProject.org. TheAcervoProject.org. Let's save the kids. Let's put this vile scum in prison. All right? We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos.
Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Federal Reserve's key inflation gauge unexpectedly comes in hotter. That's from the Epoch Times. Why is it unexpected? You can't stop an economy for a virus and then print trillions of dollars without inflation that is going to crush us all, as we've explained 1,000 times. It's not unexpected. Inflation is here. Inflation is here to stay for a while. They're going to have to jack interest rates to the point where it puts us in a recession in order to try to get it under control. And that freaking sucks. Nevertheless, that's where we are. Jesse, will Trump run again in 2028? Dude, he's not even done running in 2024. He might win in 2024. And then, no, because then he's termed out. Look, at some point in time, Donald Trump's going to be too old. You saw my emails. There are people. It's always split. You know, half people are Trump people, half people are DeSantis people. A lot of DeSantis people think Trump's too old now, which I get. He's old. He's getting old. He definitely ain't running again in 2028. That's for sure. Hey, Jesse, I was listening to your show on how you met your wife and how you suffered from PTSD at the age of 23. I thought for a long time how 18-year-olds are too young to fight in battle. What do you think? Should men under 21 be serving in combat roles? Under 25? It's question mark. Well, sometimes we are all guilty of making statements that are too all-encompassing. I obviously know I certainly do that. You do that. We do that. And this is one of those times where I'm not sure it's appropriate to make an all-encompassing statement. And this is what I mean. You know, I am dead set against the current roles women have in our military to the point where it's extremely offensive to many, many people. Women should be nowhere near ground combat units ever. Integrated boot camps are a mistake. Most of the integrated units, period, I've seen have endless amounts of drama and trouble. Women should not be anywhere near naval vessels. They shouldn't. Those are my feelings on it. Men and women are different. You put a bunch of 18-year-old men and 18-year-old women together, you're going to have more problems than you are good things. It'll create more problems than good things. That's just what I've always believed. But then we go to some place like Israel. Israel has 8 or 9 million people. Israel's surrounded by people who want to kill them. Israel doesn't have the option to say, sorry, no women allowed. Their military won't be big enough if they don't integrate women more into their units. Now, you should know the women integrated into ground combat, things like that for Israel, they've really phased a lot of that out too. Why? Because of everything I just said. Because you put a bunch of 20-year-olds in there in the barracks together and things are going to get messy. But we are a nation of 330 million people. Our military shouldn't be near as big as it is anyway. And we definitely don't need everyone we have in there. I'll put it to you that way. Now, should 18-year-olds fight or shouldn't they fight? 18-year-olds have been dying for their country for a very, very, very long time. Long before there was in America. Remember how young most of the founders were. They were in their 20s. The people who founded the country and went out there and fought. Doesn't that blow your mind? We think about them like these gray, old, stately old men. No, 20s. They were in their 20s. They still had eyes that worked fine. Picked up some new glasses today, not to brag, but I finally could see driving to work. I was just reading the street signs all over just because I could. I'm 41. I think 18-year-olds are plenty capable of going to do it. When it comes to issues like PTSD and struggling with things like that, that's just the nature of war. And it's always been that way. They just didn't always write about it. You think some Greek hoplite goes out for battle and he spends 2-3 hours that day stabbing people in the face and chest and hearing his friends stabbed in the face and chest and legs with all the blood and the crying and the misery and the pooping themselves, you think that guy didn't have mental issues for quite some time after experiencing that? We'd have mental issues after experiencing that for 5 minutes. Now picture all day long hacking people to death and having your buddies be hacked to death. I'm not saying, oh, well, that's how it goes. Maybe that sounds like that's what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the human mind is always going to struggle with things like that. That's just the way it is. He's always going to struggle. All right. More Ask Dr. Jesse questions. Ooh, speaking of history, Jesse, I believe you said that Hannibal was your favorite military commander of all time. If this is correct, what makes him better than Alexander? And if I'm incorrect, can you correct me? I don't know that you're incorrect. This is more of a preference thing. But the reason, part of the reason I love Hannibal Barca so much is Hannibal Barca, when Rome was at a real strong place in its society, they were studs, steamrolling everybody. Hannibal took an army and marched into Italy and just stayed there, beating up Roman army after Roman army, massive Roman armies. He's just wiping them out. He just kept wiping out entire armies. That's so impressive to me. That's so amazing. That's on your buddy's home turf. That's walking into your buddy's house and just walking right into his pantry and grabbing his best food and cooking it up on his stove and eating it in front of him. That's amazing. And the things he did are so crazy to me. And they're crazy when you look historically at them. But when you consider the stakes of what he did, like the Battle of Cannae, we've talked about that before, where he had a smaller army and he ended up tricking the Romans into, he enveloped them. He ended up surrounding them and wiping out the whole Roman army. And we love that historical story. I'm not going to go into it again. We've told it before on the show and it's this incredible story and it's wild. But think about this. That's quite a risk to take. Put your weakest troops in the center of the formation and plan on them being pushed back just so you could surround them on the flanks. What if they broke? If that middle of that formation breaks with your weakest troops facing their strongest troops, if that formation breaks, the Romans are through, your armies are split. What does that mean? That probably means Hannibal ends that day nailed to a cross. That's probably what that means. Or even worse, maybe Hannibal gets captured. He gets kept in some Roman dungeon for a couple years before they drag him out and parade him through the streets while people spit on him. Picture this Roman general or this Carthaginian general, this hugely powerful, influential person, all of a sudden being a prisoner in chains. And he ends his life getting spit on and rotten food thrown at him all day long during the Roman triumph. Yes, that's right, Chris. And then ritually strangled in the basement. Now, those are the stakes of the things Hannibal did. But that's not putting anything down on Alexander the Great. Hannibal himself thought Alexander the Great was, I believe, number one, if not number two of all time. There's a great story out there where I'm going to mispronounce one of these names because I always do. Where at the end, during the Third Punic War, the third war between Rome and Carthage, Scipio Africanus, the Roman general, goes down to, their plan is to raise Carthage to the ground. They're going to beat Carthage. They're going to raise them to the ground. And they're in this battle. They're in this battle between, you know, he ends up meeting Hannibal in the center of battle before they fight. But this, Hannibal's old and washed up and Carthage is washed up by this point in time. So Scipio Africanus, he beats him. Well, later on, Hannibal is basically hired as a consultant for a different group. I'm not going to go into the details of it. He's hired as a consultant, the Seleucid Empire, because they're fighting the Romans. And he ends up at a dinner with Scipio Africanus. Tell me what you would pay to be at this dinner. So Hannibal's sitting there, this great legendary general, and Scipio Africanus is sitting there. And they end up talking about, hey, who's the number one general of all time, Hannibal? Who's the number one of all time? You know what Hannibal told him? I'll tell you in just a moment. Before we get to that, let's get to your food. Let's get to your belly. Because there are a lot of terrible ways to die. We're about to go over one of those ways. There's a story out there that is, I'll give you the willies. But starving to death looks like one of the worst when you read all the stories about it. Now, I have an emergency 3-month food kit mostly because it gives me peace of mind. Russia is moving nuclear weapons into Belarus. Did you know that? Do you know what's going on right now in the world? I don't know what this world's going to look like 10 years from now, but I don't think it's going to look like it does now. There's $200 off these emergency 3-month food kits right now at preparewithjessekelly.com. Everyone in your home needs a 3-month food kit. Preparewithjessekelly.com. Go now.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Oh, boy. By the way, you remember on, what was it, Wednesday, we were blowing up the phone lines of that Louisiana State Senator Fred Mills. Here's Fred Mills.
I guess I've always, in my heart of hearts, have believed that a decision should be made by a patient and a physician. I believe in the physicians in Louisiana. I believe people that are licensed by the Board of Medical Examiners are well-regulated. I believe in the scope of practice. I believe in the standard of care. I have to tell you, before I made this vote, I was wide open to hear it. What I've heard from the testimony of the proponents is some horrible stories, and it shouldn't be like that. But that's the Board of Medical Examiner's job to go after a malpractice suit. That's the Board of Medical Examiner's job is to revocate those licenses of physicians. So for that, because I do believe...
Now you know why I call it the low T GOP. Jesse, if America ever truly collapses, would you stick it out or move your family to a better country such as Northern Europe? Well, I'll be honest with you. I look around and I'm pretty horrified by what I see out there right now, by where I see this world going. But here's something I think a lot of people don't realize: how much of the world remains kind of okay because America is America. Did you know that we pick up the tab for 90% of Europe's defense? 90. And look, I like Europe. I'm not anti-Europe at all. I've been to Europe once, not to brag, but no, seriously, I like Europe. I enjoy it. Whenever we have the time and the money, we're going to go back to Europe because I love history. I want to see castles and see battlefields and do these things. So I'm not anti-Europe, but brother, Europe only gets to exist in this namby-pamby low military world because Big Daddy is over here with all the aircraft carriers and artillery and nuclear weapons in the world. If that goes away, what Northern European country do you think is going to be able to stand up to the demons of the world as they go on the move? And honestly, same thing goes to Israel as well. People will say, man, I want to go to Israel. And a lot of my Jewish friends will say this too. Jesse, if it gets any worse here, I might go to Israel. And brother, I like Israel too. And they're tough as nails. All credit in the world to them. Israel's going to get chewed up and spit out like a little squirrel if America isn't there to help with things. What I'm saying is the world has an order to it now. The world is more global than it's ever been, obviously, because it's so easy to get to and fro. And there's an order that is maintained in this world, not because people are good, but because America has been good enough and big enough and strong enough to keep the demons in check. Pause for a moment and just pause for a moment and think about Xi Jinping. Think about that human being. Okay, communist trash, you know that. But he runs this economy that's roughly equal to the size of ours now, right? That's not good. Roughly equal to the size of ours now. What does Xi Jinping, who's openly talked about China dominating the world, that's what he wants. He wants world domination. What does Xi Jinping do if America breaks up and falls? What doesn't he do might be a lot shorter of a list. He'd probably have to be real careful with India, so he probably wouldn't want to push it too far because India's got a pretty big boy stuff. But Xi Jinping, he gobbles up the Pacific. Japan, gone. Korea, South Korea, gone. he goes stomping through Africa like a blowtorch through butter. I don't even think he would face stiff enough resistance in Africa. Africa, gone. Australia would be in serious trouble. By the grace of God, they have a huge country with some seriously inhospitable terrain, so that would help them out a lot, but Australia would be in trouble. You see what I mean? If America breaks apart, if America comes apart at the seams, I don't know that there's another place to go. I've said before, and I believe this wholeheartedly, red America, a coalition of red states, they are the last bastion of freedom on the planet. They are the only thing keeping some semblance of freedom alive, the coalition of red states. If God forbid those things ever go away, we're in deep, deep poo-poo. And I mean deep poo-poo. Now, if you're asking what other country I wouldn't mind living in, Chris brought up Poland. Poland's anti-communist. I like me some Poles. What, Chris? That's a little bit rude. Chris just said I couldn't speak the language ever. I'm sorry. Which one of us speaks Spanish, Chris? What do you mean it's a different alphabet? What alphabet do they use? All right, no Poland per se, but maybe somewhere else, maybe somewhere that's nice. Somewhere on the water. Dr. Jesse, I just ate McDonald's Egg McMuffin combo, which makes me curious about what the menu whisperer believes is the best fast food breakfast choice. One, you know I appreciate you for listening, right? And I appreciate you that the show just set another record. I love you guys. Thank you. Don't forget you can listen for free on the iHeartRadio app. But one, you should be freaking ashamed of yourself for ordering the Egg McMuffin at McDonald's. That's so low class. The sausage McMuffin is so much better than the Egg McMuffin. What kind of a freak prefers ham over sausage? Plus, McDonald's patty sausage is delicious. And I mean, top-notch delicious. That's one. Two. Okay, McDonald's, in my opinion, is still number one for the best breakfast at a fast food place. I go sausage McMuffin combo because the hash brown's underrated. I also get a couple sausage burritos with it. And then, if I'm really hungry, I've been working out or something like that, I get some hotcakes on the side because McDonald's hotcakes are legit. But I will say this, don't discount Chick-fil-A's breakfast biscuit, spicy chicken breakfast biscuit, legit. And Jack in the Box has good breakfast burritos. The ultimate sausage burrito from Jack in the Box, legit. But you don't want to eat that all the time, right? So why do you feed your dog food all the time? I'm asking. We don't like fast food because fast food's empty calories with no nutrition. So we don't eat it all the time. Now, we still eat it on occasion because it's delicious, but we don't eat it all the time. But your dog's food is the same. They kill all the nutrition in it. It's just empty calories. It's nothing. Now, you can make it something if you pour Rough Greens on it, the all-natural nutritional supplement, vitamins, minerals, probiotics, omega oils. You want to watch your dog come alive? You want that shiny coat again, better breath, better energy? Those little aches and pains go away. You want your dog back. You want your dog to live longer. Go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. Free jumpstart trial bag. Roughgreens.com/Jesse. Or you can call 833-33-MY-DOG.
This is an iHeart podcast.